And we ask that you bless now in a special way as we look at some things here, this church, that would be an encouragement to us. Again, we might glean some truths now to see the importance of prayer and how it worked in this church. And may we be faithful in our prayer life, that we might see you work in this church that we are part of here today and tonight. And whether it be in New Mexico, whether it be here in Shining Light, I pray that you work now in our midst in a special way. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last Wednesday night, we talked about, I asked the question, what do you think, if you could look back through history of churches, what do you think that was missing or is missing in churches today? And I got a lot of comments about different things that each person thought that were missing. Kindness, compassion, love for people, all of these things that were mentioned last Wednesday night were good things. But one of the four things I wanted to talk about here is Pastor is going to be teaching the next couple of weeks in the Shine classes. One of the things that I believe that's missing in churches today, as we talked about it last Wednesday night and we introduced to y'all, was prayer, the importance of prayer. We also believe that in our churches today, the power that we need to do God's will and God's work and to serve him is missing. And I believe also that preaching is missing in the churches today the way that it needs to be. If we're going to see God work in churches and in lives of people, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take the preaching of the word of God. Amen. That is what's going to change lives. And I give this testimony here Wednesday night as I thought about this, and it comes to mind as I was visiting with the Perkinsons over the weekend. And one of the things that the pastor is doing, I was telling the pastor, is it's good to go to a church. It may be different than Shining Light, but when you see the pastor has a heart for souls, that's the right church to be in. Amen. And when you see people walk the aisles and get saved from the preaching of the word of God, it tells me that the word of God still works. Preaching is still necessary. It's something that we need to hear. It's something that people need to hear that are lost and going to a devil's hell. Amen. They need to hear the preaching of the word of God, because that's what's going to change lives. And I believe it's missing from churches today. It's not a place that we should get together and entertain people. It's a place where the word of God ought to be preached. Jesus Christ ought to be lifted up, and people ought to hear words of God that are convicting, convincing, and converting souls for the glory of God. Amen. And if we're going to hear we're going to see prayer, we're going to talk about power, we're going to talk about preaching, but we're going to also talk about personal soul winning. I believe that's one of the things, again, that's missing in churches today. We can have a church in a building that we can meet in, but we need prayer. We need the power of God upon our lives. We need to preaching to encourage us to keep doing what God would have us to do, but we need to be personally soul winning, because if anything else is going to happen, somebody told you about Jesus Christ, and that's why God left you here, so that you can tell somebody else about him, because we need to be personally soul winning those that we are around, neighbors, friends, co-workers, whatever. Never take for granted the person that's standing next to you in line, the person that sits next to you at your work, the person even be sitting next to you in your church. Never take for granted that they save. Amen. You ought to want to hear their testimony, because that's what it's all about. And I believe those things are missing. So we're going to talk about those things here, but we want to finish talking about prayer. Why did we pick the book of Acts, even though Pastor's been going through? I believe the book of Acts is an example to us of a church that was on fire for God. But one of the things that the church did throughout the entire book was pray. They prayed. They prayed about everything. They prayed. What do we need to do? About what? Everything. Prayer is necessary. I hope y'all were praying for Mrs. White and I as we travel. Amen. I was praying for y'all. Amen. And I need y'all's prayer. And we talked about prayer. James 5 and verse 16 says, to confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if we're right with God, our prayers will avail much in our lives, the lives of other people, the lives of this church, and make a difference in this world. Amen. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 14 was another verse that we kind of anchored around. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So the Bible tells us that the people of God would get right with God. And one of the things that we got to do to get right with God, we got to be praying. Amen. We ought to keep the slate clean, because if we don't keep our sins confessed, turn from our wicked ways. God is, you're not going to hear from heaven, and you're not going to see anything productive take place in your life because he's already told us that. Amen. So we saw that there's some promises in these verses here, or in this verse. We see the plan of God when it comes to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18 says, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. It is God's will that we pray without ceasing. Not that we can walk around all our lives with our eyes closed, but God ought to, we ought to be in a situation or in a state of mind that we always ought to be constantly praying, asking God to help us with the situations and the circumstances that we face. And we said it last week. A lot of times when we're talking and conversating with somebody, don't be so quick to answer. Be praying while they're talking to you. You can pray and listen to what they're saying so that God can help you to give the right response. Amen. To whatever the need is. So that is the way that we looked at it. And we want to go back, and we talked about the supplication that was in 1 Thessalonians, the application and everything. We ought to give thanks and praise to God. We talked about the difficulty of this. It's not easy to pray if we be honest with ourselves. We just got up from praying. Some of you sit, some of y'all kneel. It may not seem like it was hard to do, did it? Physically. But it's one of the hardest things for us to do and execute and carry out in our lives. Because if we be honest with ourselves, we don't pray like we ought to. And it takes some effort. It takes some dedication and commitment when it comes to prayer. And as we looked at these things about praying, we began to look at the believers here in Acts chapter 15. Or Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. And they and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said unto the number of them that together, it was about 120 men that were there together, or 120 that were there in the upper room. They believed in prayer, and they began to pray that the Holy Ghost would come, and he did come, and we see the results of what happened in their lives. I believe it gave them the courage now to go out and witness. And as we looked at first Acts chapter 4 and verse 23-31, they were witnesses, and great things happened in that church because of their prayer life. And in verse 24 of Acts chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, and they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two have they chosen. So they were asking for God to give them some direction in choosing those that needed to be replaced. We go to Acts chapter 2. We see in 2:41, 42 and 47 as we looked at that. And it says, and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in what? And in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and wonder, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, because I believe it was done because of prayer. Because they prayed and asked God for power. They asked God to help them to witness. I think about here tonight. We're going to pick it up here. We won't go back to all of these. But we gave you Acts 2:42-47. We gave you Acts 3 and verse 1. Acts 6 and verse 4. I want us to see here in Acts 6 and verse 4. Again, if we're going to see God do something, we got to commit ourselves to the right things. And that was to prayer. Look at Acts 6 and verse 4. And here they were here. The ladies were being neglected here, or the women were being neglected. But he says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. They knew how important it was for them to be men of prayer if they were going to do anything for God. And I believe not only did they need to do it in the church, we need to do it as men, women, boys and girls. We need to give ourselves over to prayer. Now we need to minister, but we need to give ourselves over to prayer, because somebody needs to be praying. Amen. Somebody needs to be praying for the power and the work of God to go on. So they did that. And I think it's something else here that I want to share. Look at Stephen. Stephen prayed as he was being stoned. You know what? I believe when you see somebody losing their life and they praying for you, that God would not hold this to charge. Look at verse 55. As Stephen was praying, he was one of those 12 that was chosen. Stephen prayed, was being stoned to death, but he was praying that God would not hold this charge to them. Look at verse number 58. We won't read all of it, but he says, and casting him out of the city, he's talking about Stephen, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, you know what? One of the things that's probably the hardest thing for us to do is to pray for our enemy. You know, one of the things that we ought to do as a Christian is to pray for those that are not the easiest persons to get along. They make it hard for you to get along with them. But you know, one of the greatest things you could ever do for yourself is to pray for them. To pray for them. They need prayer. And Stephen, just like when our Lord Jesus Christ was being crucified, what did he do? He prayed for those that were killing, that were crucifying him. Stephen was doing the same thing. And what I find here ironic is who's standing there watching the clothes of those as they were stoning Stephen? It was Saul. It was Saul. And I can't prove it, but I believe it, that prayer affected Paul's life. I believe it affected Paul's life because that's what prayer does. And he was consenting. Look at verse number, as he ends that chapter and goes on to chapter number 8, because Paul was there and Saul was consenting unto his death. And all that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. I believe Paul was affected by that prayer. And what he saw is a Christian who's willing to give up his life for the cause of Jesus Christ, but to be praying for those that were taking his life. Think of that. Just think of him. He's praying for them. It shows us what our prayer life ought to be like. We would be there thinking like, oh, God, help me, get me out of this. But that was not Stephen's prayer. Stephen was praying for them. He knew where he was going. The Bible already told us he was able to have a vision of heaven. So you know what? The worst you could do to me is kill me and send me on to heaven. But I'm going to pray for you that God would work in the souls and your lives of those that's taken my life. That takes a lot of courage, folks. But it takes the power of prayer not only to be offered, but the power of prayer in our own lives that we will be praying and have that kind of desire to see people saved. Look at Peter and John in Acts chapter number 8. As we go to Acts 8 and verse 14 through 17, again, here we see him praying for the Samaritans. What was it about the Samaritans? They were not people that were well-liked, amen? Y'all know some people that are not well-liked? What you ought to do for them? You ought to pray for them because they need prayer, amen? So we see even there, Stephen being stoned, Peter and John praying for the Samaritans in verses number 14 through 17. Look at 14. Now, when the apostles were which were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom when they were come down, what they do? Pray for them because they got saved. Now, we want to see the Holy Spirit of God come upon them. We want to see them grow. We want to see them develop. So he's praying for the Samaritans that got saved. And Saul of Tarsus, as we come over to chapter number 9 and verse number 11, we know that he had been on the road to Damascus and Paul had an encounter with God and he got saved. And notice what Paul did. I wonder, again, that's why I say when we come to this in verse number 11, look at what it says about the apostle Paul. And verse 11, it says, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas. For this one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he what? Praying. Praying. Now here he was persecuting Christians, but after he got right with God, one of the first things he began to do was what? Pray. Because I believe he realized the importance of prayer. And he had this experience that he never had before in his life. He was persecuting Christians, but God got a hold of his heart, changed his heart, changed his mind, changed his attitude, changed his direction, and Paul began to pray. Paul became a prayer warrior. And when we get saved, we need to become prayer warriors is what I'm saying that ought to happen in your life when you get saved. It's amazing when you know your Heavenly Father, who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, he can give you what you need. He may not give you what you want, but he can give you what you need. Amen? And one of the first things he began to do after he got saved was he began to pray. One of the first things he did, he learned how to pray and the importance of prayer. Peter prayed before he rose Dorcas from the dead. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verses 36 and 37 here. And he went down to Joppa and he met there. And he began to pray for her and for them. Before he even began to raise her from the dead, he was already praying for her. Look at it. But Peter in verse 40. But when Peter went into the house, and it says, but Peter put them all four and kneeled down and what? And prayed and turned him to the body and said to how you say that? Tabitha. Oh, I should have known that. I got a friend. My wife got a friend named Tabitha. Arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He prayed before her before he turned to her. And God answered her prayer. I wondered if Peter said, Lord, raise her up. You ever think about what did he probably say? How about just this? Lord, your will be done. Because sometimes we don't always know what to pray for. And the Bible didn't tell us what he prayed for. But he told us that he prayed. And then he turned to her and realized maybe she started to move. Grabbed her by the hand. She sat up and she opened her eyes and looked, there was Peter. Because we don't always know how to pray. But God knows what needs to be done. And not only does it encourage those that were looking at her, I believe it encouraged Peter. I know if this, you went into a room, somebody was laying there dead, and you began to pray, and you heard a little, probably scare you. And I see Brother Hall running right now. No, amen? But you never know what God will do. But we do need to offer prayer. We do need to offer prayer. Let me say this before I get too far. One of the things I think when I say that these things are missing in the church, how many know what a thermometer is? How about a thermostat? So if we're going to be good prayer warriors, we need to keep the thermostat at a certain temperature, or the thermometer at a certain temperature. The thermostat controls that temperature. And if we could correlate that to what prayer does, we need to stay at our prayers because we want to keep the temperature right so that God can bless. Because the church ought to be like a thermometer and have a thermostat that's set, and we keep it hot, we keep it warm, we keep it at the right temperature, and we do it by keeping our prayer lives where it needs to be. Amen? And that's a good correlation when you really think about it. Because if we get cold in our prayers, nothing's going to be done. But if we keep the temperature right, we got to be on our knees, amen, to keep the thermostat where it needs to be. And when we see God working like he was working in that church, it ought to do something to us. It ought to show us something to make our lives effective. I believe the effectiveness of the church in Acts, in the book of Acts, was because of their prayer life. And if it was effective then, how do you keep it there? By keeping the thermostat where it needs to be so the thermometer read at the right temperature. And it began with prayer. And we can see that they continue to do that. As we continue to go through the book of Acts, we see more prayer about different things in different situations. Cornelius prayed that God would show him how to be saved. Look at Acts chapter number 10. Now, you want to get saved, then you ought to pray God to show you how you to be saved. Look at Acts chapter number 10, and there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God. You know what? That's where it begins. With all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour. And the ninth hour was the time that people were praying. Amen. And the angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thy arms are come up for a memorial before God." Let me say something what this reminds me of in my own life. Y'all have probably heard me say this before. Before I got saved, I knew there was something missing in my life. I didn't exactly know what it was, but it was something missing in my life. And one night I had this, I don't know what happened to me. And it brought to my mind, it scared me. It scared me so much that I didn't want to die. But I knew there was something missing in my life. And I didn't know exactly what it was. I went to my grandmother. She couldn't help me. And it took some time before I came to realize what it was. It was back in December 1986 when Pastor Kraft took the Bible and showed me how I could be saved. Amen. That's what was missing in my life. What I relate this to Cornelius, because he prayed and he feared God. I had a fear of God, but I didn't know God. And I wanted to know what it was in my life. And I knew it was something missing. And I relate to that because it reminds me of myself, because I had a desire to know what it was. And because I had that desire, God fulfilled that desire, because God knew my heart. Because what I was seeking was him, because everything else I turned to, I could not find that truth. Everything that Cornelius sought after didn't bring him the peace that he was looking for. But when he prayed to God and he feared God, God brought somebody in his life to show him how he could be saved. Here he is praying. Look at Acts chapter 10 and look at verse number. Let me find it here. He's praying. Look at verse number 9. He's praying, but look at verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went up on their journey, he sent these men to go and seek after Peter. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and draw nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the rooftop to pray about the sixth hour. As he's going up there to pray, God is answering Cornelius' prayer to send Peter over there to show him how he could be saved. Isn't that just like God?
Amen.
Isn't that just like God? Here you are, you spending time in prayer. You may not know that the person that you're going to witness to today is even out there. But you got a prayer life in such a way that you're communicating with God. And if you have the desire that you ought to have to be a witness to somebody, God will direct you to somebody that you can share the gospel with. Peter going up because he was faithful to his prayer. God was answering his prayer by sending two men to go over there and get Peter, bring him over to Cornelius to share the gospel with him so that he could get saved. That is tremendous. That is just like God, because he's been faithful. Where else did God send Peter? In this same area. Who can tell me? Huh? To the eunuch. Didn't he? Wasn't it Peter? Philip. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to get there too. Amen. It wasn't Peter. It was Philip. I'm thinking God just using this man all over the place. I got him mixed up this time. I'm glad y'all paying attention. I want to make sure. Amen. No, just kidding. I got that all mixed up. But he did. As he prayed, Peter was on the housetop praying when God told him how to be the answer to Cornelius' prayer. Go down there, Peter, to go with them, because Peter didn't want to go because they were of a different breed of people. And sometimes God may send us to some people that may not be the most popular people for us, because we look at them with our nose in the air and think that we're too good to go somewhere. But you know what? We ought not ever be that way. We ought not ever be that way. Because God uses people. And everybody needs to be saved.
Amen.
Everybody does. I was telling Pastor about the church that Cindy and them go to. They have an outreach ministry there to a lot of people that are homeless. You know, there are people in churches, as the pastor, me and him was talking, you know, there are a lot of churches, and my brother here can probably attest to it. You know, there are a lot of people don't want to see bus kids come into church. There are a lot of people don't want to see homeless people in the church. But you know what? They need to be saved.
Amen.
They need to hear the gospel. And we ought not be so high and pious that we don't want to see bus kids come in. They may be unruly. They may be a little bit different in their way, but so were some of you. And we have the homeless people that are out there, and they may be looking for handouts, but you know what? You don't. I mean, I have like Peter or Paul. I have a bunch of wealth to give you, but I can't give you the gospel that'll make a difference in your life. Because that's what they need. They need that more than any funds or money that you can give them. And if you decide to give them that, let it be because God leads you to do that for them. Amen. So he prayed. John Mark House prayed for Peter when he was in jail. Look at Acts 12 and verse 11. Acts 12 and verse 11, verse 5. And it says, Peter therefore knelt down in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Here they are praying for him. I like that. Look at verse 12. And here's Rhoda. As Herod was trying to kill Peter, notice when, and when he had considered the things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? Praying for Peter. They were praying for him. Amen. I like that. And he's standing at the door knocking. Rhoda comes to the door, and she's so excited to see him, she didn't even open the door. She go back to tell him, Peter's at the door. That ought to encourage them because they had been praying for him. That he's at the door. He's alive. God has answered prayer. God is blessed. Here he is, God opening the door to the jail to free the man because they were praying for him. It ought to give us confidence to pray for people. Amen. We're going to have to run through this. Amen. Let me give you some more of these areas here. The church at Antioch fasted and prayed for the sending of Barnabas and Paul. Look at Acts 13, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 3. Here we see them praying for missionaries as they were separated and going to the work that God had called them to. One of the things that tells me that missionaries need when we send them out on the field, what do they need? They need prayer. And we definitely need to be faithful in praying for our missionaries. Brother, we ought to be praying for you. We ought to be praying for our other missionaries as we see as they went out and that they would have the power of God upon their lives. It was at prayer meeting in Philippi where that God opened Lydia's heart in Acts 16 and verse 13. And we know that they were at a prayer meeting there as Paul went down and met with them because they were by the water meeting and prayer, and God opened her heart that she saw the truth. She had a desire. She had a need. Another prayer meeting in Philippi opened the prison doors for Paul in Acts 16 in verse 25. He opens a heart in one area and opens the door in the other area. Amen. Tells us that God is just good. Paul prayed for his friend before leaving them. You know, one of the things when we get together as Christians, let's turn over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. One of the things that we ought to do is to pray for each other when we depart. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. And when he had thus spoken to them, look at verse 35, it'll make more sense. I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That might make you think about some things. Amen. And then he says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that which he had spake, and that they should see his face no more. And they all and they accompanied him into the ship. They were sorry and sad to see Paul leave, but he was praying for those as he was departing because he saw that they were saddened. Amen. Paul prayed in the midst of the storm, Acts 27 and verse 37. He prayed during the storm, in the storm. God fed him. Amen. And then as they got to the other side, he prayed for him again in Acts 20 27 and verse 35. And Paul prayed for them. And again, prayer, he prayed that God would heal the sick in Acts 28 and verse 8. And almost every chapter, as we look through the book of Acts, every one of the chapters, prayer was being offered. Prayer was being made. And it shows me in my life that a church that is doing something for God, that's on fire for God, and that God is using, the church members have a fervent, effectual prayer life. And it affected the work that went on in the church. It affected how God used them because they had a prayer life that was untouchable. And that's what I believe is missing in churches today. When we say we're going to meet on Wednesday night and have prayer time, look how many people come. It don't show that their prayer life, that they have a lot of concern for prayer. We want Brother Hall to pray for us, but how many of us pray for Brother Hall? I want Pastor to pray for me, but how many times do I pray for Pastor? How much do I pray for Miss Rose? How much do I pray for Brother Fred? How much do I pray for our missionaries? Prayer. It takes work. It takes effort. We're going to have to purpose in our heart to have a good prayer life. And I'm not jumping on the bandwagon because I'm saying I pray enough. If we be honest, as we said it before, we don't pray enough. This is certainly a good lesson for us to learn as a church. This book makes it very clear that something happens when God's people pray. He says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Humbleness is what it takes to have a good prayer life because we realize that we can't do what needs to be done. So we ask the person that can do it, and God will, God can, if we ask him to do it, if we would be faithful when it comes to prayer. Let's turn back over here as we're going to close this area. We could have did more, said more. But when we come back here to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, these all who, all that were with him, all those who were named in chapter and verse 13, all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, a mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. All of them assembled together, the people that were there assembled, the people assembled. Prayer was in the assembly there. They all prayed. All the people assembled in the upper room prayed. It referenced to a group of disciples praying, but the context, it refers to the entire group was praying. It was something that they were doing on purpose. It's something that we ought to do. We see here all, but we see the attentiveness. These all continue. So they continue. It wasn't something that they just did ho-humly. We just did it a little while, but it tells us that they continue. I mean, this group in the upper room did something lengthy. That means that they prayed. It wasn't a short thing. And it was of accord in prayer. All continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were unified or in unity in their prayers. This unity came from great dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were petitioning that God would use them, and they were praying for the things that they were facing. They were praying for the situations that they were going to be facing. They were praying that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon them, give them the strength to serve God, give them the strength that they need to make right decisions, the confidence that they need to go out and be a witness and a testimony to a lost and dying world. And to pray for each other with the things that they are facing. We need to be the same way. And we need to be of one accord, praying for each other, because prayer is something that's missing in the lives of Christians today. It takes dedication. It takes a commitment. And we got a purpose in our hearts that we're going to do it. Because if you don't, there will always be something to come up that will keep you from doing it. The phone will ring, the kids will cry, the dishes will need to be washed, you got to get off the work, you didn't get up the way you were supposed to because you didn't go to bed when you were supposed to. Something will always happen to keep you from having a consistent prayer life. But you got to work at it. You got to work at it because you know what? It's worth it when you think about all the things that we go through every day that we don't saturate with prayer. We got to. Because God will be faithful if we will be faithful. Am I saying I got the corner on it? Nope. I'm just reminding myself, just like I hope to encourage you tonight, to see the importance of having a good prayer life, because I need it. I want y'all prayers, because many of us sit here tonight, and we'll close with this. You ever felt like somebody was praying for you? Aren't you glad that they are? I think about my daughters. I think about my girls. You know, anything could happen to them. But I just praise God that I know her mother prays for them, and I pray for them. And I believe because we pray for them that we see things happening in their lives. It may not be what we want happening, but God has kept them safe. God has watched over them. And so are some of you that I pray for. And I hope y'all praying for me, because your prayers are answered. Miss White and I made it back here safely. Amen. Prayer. Let's pray for each other. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The thermostat and the thermometer need to work hand in hand. Let's keep the whole fire burning. Amen. With a fervent prayer life. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for this time that we could be together, oh Lord, and be encouraged and strengthened and challenged from the word of God about a prayer and the importance of it. And Lord, I know that we've all heard many, many messages on prayer and how we should pray, what we should pray, when we should pray. But you know what? We can never exhaust the word of God, the importance of it, because if it wasn't important, you wouldn't have wrote it down to remind us of it. And we can look through the book of Acts, the church that where it all began, oh Lord, how they prayed for every need, every factor of life, and the importance of it. Help us to be faithful in our prayer lives as well. Again, we thank you and love you and praise you for all that you've done. Be with us now as we leave this place. Keep us safe. Bring us back Saturday morning at the men's meeting, the ladies, the men's meeting, and going out witnessing and passing out flyers and tracts. I pray you're blessed now in a special way. Be with those that could not be here tonight for the different reasons that you know what they are. Again, we love you and praise you and ask your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Amen. All right. You all are dismissed. Amen. Before we